Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Have kicked off their season. They are no longer a short season single A affiliate. They are the single A affiliate. Mike McMurray is the president of the team. His wife Laura is a vice president and the CFO. They are involved in the day-to-day operations of the team, but they are owners, or the active owners, the acting owners of the Hillsboro Hops, and Mike McMurray joining us now. What was it like to be in the stadium and see that first pitch?
John, first of all, thanks for having me on today. And that first pitch brought tears to my eyes. You know, we've been waiting 600 days for this to happen. And as you know, my wife, Laura, and I are baseball fanatics. And to be able to see our players on the field, hearing the crack of the bat in person, wood bat, it was just amazing. It was amazing.
How tenuous did it feel, or how worried were you in the days before the opener as you saw restrictions in some counties in extreme risk, and kind of, you know, how much looking around were you doing?
It was the ultimate emotional roller coaster. If we go back a couple of weeks, we were going to have 25% capacity. Then it was dropped to 15. And then it sounded like as late as Monday morning, we might not have any fans at all. And, you know, how do you run a business that way? How to react? And it was quite difficult for us. And then once we finally got the notice that we wouldn't have to go to extreme risk, that we could stay at 15%, what a relief. What a relief.
Yeah, I got to think that you weren't alone. The Blazers were, I think, concerned about whether they were going to have fans. The Timbers and Thorns were worried. They have a big weekend coming up. Mike, how much do you communicate, or how much do the Hops communicate with the other sports entities in the state?
We actually communicate very frequently, particularly with, KL, who, by the way, KL is actually our president. I'm the chairman and CEO. But KL actually is communicating almost daily with the Thorns, the Timbers, and the Blazers, trying to strategize to get the message across how safe we have made our respective venues. And we're very proud of how safe they are relative to other states, let alone just how much safer we believe they are here than with some of the other things we're dealing with.
We're talking to Mike McMurray, owner of Hillsboro Hops. Are you optimistic that it's going to be, I think you had how many, 800 in the ballpark? Will you expand for the coming games, or where does that stand right now?
Right now, we're at 800, and we will continue to promote the idea that, you know, we are a safe venue and that we should be allowed to expand. So we're hopeful. I mean, we're hopeful that once people see how safe it is at our ballpark, we see that things maybe settle down in terms of the hospitalizations, that we'll be allowed to increase. We're sure hopeful that by mid-season, that maybe we can go to 50%. We're keeping our fingers crossed.
I've been really frustrated with sort of the whiplash that we're getting. Oregon State, for example, Mike, they had announced on Wednesday that they would have no fans at the scrimmage on Saturday, and then 40 minutes later, they said, never mind, we will have fans. I feel like, you know, the decisions that are being made are there's a little bit of it's arbitrary, or it feels arbitrary. Has that been challenging for you guys personally as you watch it?
It's been extremely challenging, and we're not, you know, not really knowing what the thought processes are, but you can't run a business and be a constant community asset trying to serve your community when, you know, almost hourly you're wondering, which way are we going? Do we get to have fans? We don't get to have fans. I realize that everybody is dealing with these uncertainties, but it has been very tough, very, very tough. But it goes against the grain, but I'm going to be optimistic. I guess I've learned that one from KL, that things will get better during the course of our season.
Yeah, you've got a great GM in KL Wambacher, who, you know, is busy at the ballpark at 4 o'clock in the morning on opening day,
yeah,
and running around there. I'm going to be at one of your home games on a coming Thursday night. I need to get a foul ball. You got any tips for me? Have you caught a foul ball at a Hops game?
Well, I've caught some, but never kept them for a fairly obvious reason. That'd be bad optic.
Not for me.
No, not for you. The best thing to do is, one, bring a mitt, and two, keep in mind that if there's a foul ball that comes back over the in the home plate area, that they bounce all over the place. So be prepared to move. Nothing will come directly to you.
Yeah, I got to say, yeah, it would be bad for the owner to keep a foul ball, but I'm telling you, I'm going to be that grown man who catches one. There's going to be a little 5-year-old kid next to me with sad eyes, and I'm going to say, I'm sorry, this is the first foul ball I've ever caught at a game. You know, I'll buy you an ice cream bar or a cotton candy. Mike McMurray is with us. What made you want to be a managing owner of a team? Because, you know, for a lot of people who love baseball, they love the game, but they don't get involved in ownership. What brought you to the ownership group?
Well, we kind of stumbled into it. John, I don't know if you recall, but I was an actuary for something like 25 years, and actuarial science isn't nearly as exciting as it sounds. So for the second half of our lives, Laura and I decided we were going to pursue our passion, which was baseball. And by the way, it was developmental baseball, not major leagues. We wanted to be part of kids pursuing their dreams before they become jaded. And so we got involved in as minor league or minority owners, and then as other minority owners in our organizations kind of decided this wasn't that much fun anymore, we just picked up more and more shares and became managing owners, because the baseball love became more of a baseball addiction. And honestly, despite everything that's gone on lately, we're loving it. This is what we want to be doing with our life. Baseball's our passion. Community baseball is our passion.
Now, an actuary is using math and statistics to sort of estimate the financial impact of an uncertainty. It helps clients minimize their risk. Did that give you an advantage in a pandemic as you look at the business of the Hops?
You know, it actually did. This sounds strange, but as soon as we saw where things were going, we scrambled to figure out what financial options were available to us, what we needed to do with our personal finances to be able to keep our staff employed, what we needed to do with our lending partners to see what we could do. We did all of this actually very early on because we're risk averse at a time when everything is risk. So I think it really did help us. And particularly it was helpful that Laura, also our CFO, also has an actuarial background. So she really scrambled and get into things to be sure we could cover our expenses, which, of course, the main thing being keeping our staff employed.
It's interesting. Actuary marries actuary, Mike McMurray. That is, you know, I'm in a household where we're both in media, and maybe there's an understanding of the profession and sort of the science and maybe the personalities that are involved in it that, you know, help make it work.
Well, that's definitely true. And, you know, with good reason, actuaries are not known to be the most sociable people. So that when you find somebody who has somewhat the same personality traits, same interests, you go for it. And that's what Laura and I did.
Mike McMurray, the managing owner of the Hillsboro Hops, is with us. Now, when you were a single-A short-season team, you had players who were housed with people who were, you know, just sort of in the community. Is that still a thing as you move to being a regular long-season A-ball team?
It will be, not this year, because of the COVID protocols that MLB has given us. That host families just wouldn't work. But the Diamondbacks loved our host family program. And they think it's actually still very relevant to players at the high A level. And I know that we've got quite a few returning players who were with us in 2019 who really rue the fact that they can't go to host families. They were looking forward to that. Our plan is to have our host family program up and running and available to the players as soon as safety protocols allow.
Yeah, I think it's part of what sort of embeds the team in the community. We're talking to Mike McMurray, owner of the Hillsboro Hops. Before I cut you loose, all right, so what's a success this season, Mike? Because you started with 800 fans in the ballpark. What, in your mind, is a successful season?
Playing all 120 games. You know, that's a success to us. Secondary success is to generate enough revenue that we don't go into further debt. But that is secondary. Number one is getting all the games in with the challenges we face in our community.
I appreciate you. I appreciate what the franchise does, and I'll see you at the ballpark in a few Thursdays.
John, thank you. I look forward to seeing you.
There's Mike McMurray. He and his wife, Laura, owners, the managing owners of the Hillsboro Hops. They're there on a day-to-day basis. There are like 30 people that are part of the ownership group, but this is the face of the ownership group. I appreciate him making time. And interesting to sort of hear his perspective and his background. You know, I have known a couple of people who are actuaries, and he's right. They're not like the social butterflies in the room at a cocktail party. But I think in a pandemic, and I do think baseball and sports in general tend to be a magnet for people who like numbers and understand numbers, the box scores. One of Pete Newell's kids, Roger Newell, a friend of mine that is an actuary himself, just will geek out on the stats, the advanced analytics and stats in sports. But I do think in a pandemic, like, you know, there are some professions that were, I think, more easily acclimated to dealing with sort of the curveball that this pandemic threw at us. Coming up, the Culligan Water Cooler Report. I promise you, it's going to go sideways. Podcast is on fire right now. Zach and his team do a terrific job podcasting the show in real time. It was a format set up originally by Alabama Adriana. Shout out to her. She still listens to the show. But grab a podcast of this show. Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, wherever you listen to a podcast, you can get the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Just search for it. You could even tell your Amazon Alexa. You can tell her that you want to listen to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, and it will cue it up for you. But, and here's the value of it. Like, maybe you listen in real time, but, you know, maybe you listen wall-to-wall, all 3 hours of the show every day. And I appreciate some people do. I've talked to multiple delivery drivers, shout out to my people, who will say that we help get them through the day. Well, I got to tell you, you help me get through the day too, because I run into you on your route and you tell me, hey, I listen to the show, and it helps me. It helps me put a face on it. It helps me, you know, see somebody who's out there working their job. And but for those of you out there who don't listen wall to wall, maybe you miss an interview, maybe you miss a show, maybe there's something you hear that you want to share with somebody else. Hey, Eric Sondheim or the LA Times was on in hour number one. He was fantastic talking about high school sports in Southern California and why that's important to the Pac-12 conference. He was great. So maybe you heard the interview and you want to share that with your brother-in-law, sister-in-law, cousin, neighbor, friend. Well, you can very easily just text them the podcast and be like, boom, listen to this. This guy was great today. So, you know, if you want to get the whole show, Zach podcasts the whole show in its entirety, and then he breaks out the individual interviews, and he does it in real time. The Eric Sondheimer podcast is already up and out there. So just subscribe. It's free. Why wouldn't you? That's my PSA. Now, on to the Culligan Water Cooler Report, which I think is going to divide us, because I'm going to throw out a spicy topic.
Welcome to the Culligan Water Cooler Report. If we're talking about it, they'll be talking about it. Brought to you by Culligan Water Company.
Peter, did your phone just blow up?
Girlfriend just texted me and said, John set up the Amazon device with that whisper. That's a sensitive thing, man.
I know, man. She's always listening. I'm telling you. I don't like saying her name. I have people at Amazon that swear that you can't set it off. But I've had listeners tell me when I say the name of Amazon's device that their Amazon devices will light up. I want to throw this out. This is a topic. We're going to go around the room. And I think it's a good time to check in. Which sports entity in the state of Oregon is king right now? And I want to throw these things out there. It could be Oregon football. It could be Oregon State baseball. It could be Oregon State women's basketball. It could be Ducks women's basketball. It could be the Blazers. It could be the Timbers. It could be the Thorns, the Winterhawks, minor league baseball. Who is king right now, in your opinion? We're going to start with Zach. Zach, who's the king?
Right now, John, I would say Oregon State basketball, based on what they did in the NCAA tournament. I think if you're speaking about right now, I would say that based on what they did in the tournament. But overall, the Trailblazers are the king in the state, and I think they will be for a long, long time. Now, you know, speaking from my heart, you know, as an Oregon Duck, I think Oregon football is the biggest brand overall, with Nike and all that backing them.
I'm going to disagree.
Go ahead.
I'll say it's the Portland Trailblazers still, but I'll tell you, it looks a little bit like 1780s France right now. Everyone's eyeing that crown and going, man, we might need to revolt.
I don't think it's the Blazers, guys. I'm just going anecdotally off the data that I see on Oregon Live and on this show. I think the Blazers are solid, and I think the Blazers have wide appeal. But if I'm talking about like diehard passion, like enthusiasm, if I'm going to write a column on Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, whatever right now, if I write an Oregon football column or we have Mario Cristobal on the show, I think it goes number one among all things. I think it's Oregon football and kind of the anticipation of everybody thinks that this is a program that has a shot at maybe the playoff. But I agree with the Blazers. I think there's wide appeal with the Blazers. I just don't know if it's as passionate and rabid and as maybe as, you know, as pertinent right now as Oregon football. There's some sleepers, too. I think the women's college basketball scene in our state is hotter here than it is in other places. Certainly, you could argue that the Thorns' attendance when they had full stadiums drawing 21,000, it's probably one of the best female sports stories on the planet. And then I think Oregon State football's got some interest, but I think if we're lining them all up, it's Oregon football and Mario Cristobal. Why don't you see that? Neither one of you sees that.
Yeah, no, John, you know, I was trying to give some love to the Beavers, you know, and Just, and I had to give a little love to the Beavers, but now I do agree with you. I am more excited than I've ever been about this Oregon Ducks football season coming up. And when Mario Cristobal took over, just seeing how great of a recruiter he was at Alabama and being a part of a championship organization over there, I felt right away, man, this is the best chance. This is the coach right here that's going to lead Oregon to their first national championship. And I didn't know when it was going to be, but I felt like, man, Mario Cristobal is going to be the guy. So, yeah, the hype is just starting right now for this upcoming season.
Full caveat, Jonathan Smith and Mario Cristobal both joined us last week on the show, and Jonathan Smith's podcast had more listens than Mario Cristobal.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.